previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
It is 7:47 on Algoa FM Breakfast. You're with Wayne Lee and Charlie T. Good morning.
Hello, friends. Hello, friends.
And it's Friday, of course, so yeah. The weekend's around the corner, hey?
Vrydag in die baai, and we have some guests in studio. There's, of course, been significant public interest and concern around, you know, changes to the operation of the municipal pound in Karega following the appointment of a new service provider by Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality. And the transition follows the expiry of the previous contract and an emergency procurement process which was initiated in December to ensure the continuity of animal control and welfare services. But now, with the animals currently in care, a new provider in place and a longer-term tender process still to follow, a number of questions have been raised around the procedure, around timelines, and of course around the next steps. And mostly people are so worried about the care of the animals. I think that's what it really boils down to.
Yeah.
So yesterday on the show, we spoke to Deirdre Swift, who's the chair of the SPCA in Karega. She joined us telephonically. And we spoke to her to understand the situation from the organization's perspective. Today, however, in the interests of balance, and neutrality, we're continuing that conversation by speaking to the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality to clarify the process from their side and to provide listeners with a full picture of how this unfolded. And this morning, we're joined by Councillor Buyeye, who's the MMC for Public Health in Nelson Mandela Bay. Councillor, good morning and welcome to Algoa FM Breakfast. It's lovely to have you in studio.
Good morning to you, and good morning to the listeners. And thank you so much for the opportunity to clarify this issue that has been of public interest over the past few days. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I think first and foremost, the main thing is to just speak about timelines. Look, we understand that the SPCA has held the contract for managing and running the municipal pound for over 50 years, I think, close to 60, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, correct.
And, you know, that contract is renewed every 3 years, and our understanding is that it's usually renewed in October. But this time around, there wasn't a renewal in October. The renewal happened in December. And if I might, Councillor, before we get into your perspective, if I might just play a snippet of our interview with Deirdre yesterday to give you, you know, just a sense of her perspective around how things ran against that timeline.
Well, I think the first thing we must actually look at is, can we get the elephant out of the room? Which is the whole issue with the tender. The municipality is correct. We didn't place a bid. I'm just going to give you a brief summary as to how that came about. We obviously never ever take for granted that we will be appointed as a service provider. In the past, we have always put in a tender and expected fair and just treatment. The problem with this one is that in a tender is normally, I think, generally, the submission period is normally between 30 and 90 days. What happened in this instance, that despite having months to actually rectify the situation that we find ourselves in and that the animals in the community find themselves in, the facts are the tender was only basically released on the 19th of December, and the window for submission was 11 days. If we look at this, this means that there were two weekends and two public holidays. So that fall within this time period. So literally, there were, I think, 5 working days to submit a tender. We all know that this takes a huge amount of work and that obviously all role players that need to be part of the decision were not present due to it being over the Christmas period. So that's, for us, was hugely problematic, and it was impossible to actually fulfill that requirement. So that's the reason we didn't put in a bid. We did advise the municipality. We did tell them we couldn't. We did ask for an extension on the date of submission, and it was denied. There were also, in the actual tender document, there were two different time frames stipulated in the actual document, and at the mandatory meeting, there was another time frame given. So we asked for clarity on that as well, which we were told we had left too late to ask for clarity. Given the time period that this was all taking place, I think this remains questionable. The other thing as well is that generally when there is a tender, the site meeting is actually held at the site of where the work will be carried out. This didn't happen. The site meeting was held in an office in PE. So we're still unsure as to whether the service provider that was awarded the tender actually had been to the site and had actually had a look at the site before placing a tender.
Okay. There you go.
Counter, I think the first part there is the time frame. It was obviously released on the 19th of December. 11 days, 2 weekends in that time frame, and just 5 working days. It ended up being 5 working days. Your answer to that?
No, no. Our response to that is, I think, Deidre, if I'm...
It's Deidre, yeah.
Yeah, Deidre. I think the maybe the confusion that she's making in terms of the 3 months period that she's talking about is the that time frame is normally for when we are advertising for a 3-year contract. In this instance, because of the delays within the procurement process, I mean, even from our side, and this is not a unique case. It happens almost with most of the contracts within the municipality. Hence, you will find many contracts that are running on what we call a deviation. Deviation means that you deviate from the normal processes and you take a shorter process like we did, because we're still going to advertise for the 3-year contract. But because we had issues that we could not iron out before time, so the acting executive director public health then went to the city manager, she wrote and asked the city manager that we go on what is called an emergency contract, which is what we are at now. Hence the time frames are shorter than the normal ones, because once we have an emergency, because now we had a pound that had no service provider, hence we had to took this part. And the unfortunate part that also happened is that as much as we understand the explanation from the SPCA, but there are one service provider that had what we call information way before the other service providers had.
They were privy to information.
Yeah. Because by the time the advert went out, there had been a lot of correspondence that went between them and, or let me call the interested parties, that kept on writing to the municipality, and we had to explain to them what we are currently doing in order for us to get to the emergency contract. So every time there were those correspondences, especially Deidre, she would be the one that is...
Was copied in
all the... So she knew way... Even before the advert went out, she knew that it was going out.
So the others
who managed to tender did not even know that...
They
didn't have that information.
So for clarity, the reason why Deidre was copied in, first of all, being chair of the SPCA, but also because... they were that current service provider and the delays were going to impact them.
No. I think the reason was obviously they were not comfortable being on site without a contract.
Yes.
Hence, they kept on pushing the municipality as to when are you advertising for the contract? What is the story? Because I'm sure they were, because they render service and they might have challenges when it comes to payment if they do not have a contract. They are on site, so obviously they would push the municipality to say what is the status of the contract, how are we going to continue working going forward without a valid a contract. So I think it was in those bases that they kept on pushing, and people that are also, let me call, I said interested people, they kept on also writing, and so there was a lot of back and forth and explanations that happened on the site that they were privy to. So by the time the contract was advertised, I think they knew way in advance that was going to be the case.
Counselor, let me just help you out. So the thing is, I mean, you know, even having listened to your video that was posted, you know, you've drawn the context quite nicely in that you've explained that there was a delay in October, right? Procurement delays, and so you could not institute the bidding process at that time. The SPCA was still on site. However, their contract had expired by that point, right?
That's correct, yes.
And so when there was communication between the city manager and the public health directorate and so on, because the SPCA was part of, you know, the management and the running of the site, they were copied in. So they understood that there were delays at that point. That's
yes,
what you're saying.
Yes.
So they understood that there were delays. They understood that the bidding process was not going to happen in October. And they understood that their contract had expired, and it was in fact at that point dangerous because it was illegal for them to be on site running because they don't have a legal contract.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it illegal. I would just maybe say they did not have authority to be
okay.
to be on site because they did not have a valid authority to be still running a service for the municipality. So I think that's the only reason why I think from their side, they had to push the municipality to say, what is the status? When are you advertising? So there was nothing wrong with what they did. I think because of delays within ourselves, as I've said, this is not a, if you go and even look at the AG's report on the contracts and deviations, there's a serious concern from the AG about us running. Hence, we are also very high in terms of irregular expenditure and all of that. So these are things that we need to improve on. The bidding process should have started way before. By the time the contract finishes in October, a service provider is appointed.
Should have been appointed.
Yes.
But let's go back to the timelines that Deirdre has mentioned now. The Charlton broke it down. What was it, Charlton? 5 working days or something?
Yeah, it came out on the 19th of December, so that window was 11 days, which included 2 weekends, which, if you break it down, it's actually 5 working days for the holiday period, yeah.
So is that accurate? Do you agree with that, that it whittled down and boiled down to 5 working days during the holiday period?
To get the tender together. In other words, the time frame was quite pushed.
Yeah, look, as I've said, those who did not have, were not privy to the
information. Communication, yeah.
They managed to submit their bidding documents on time, as it was outlined in the clarification meeting that SPCA was part of.
But she is correct in saying that there were 5 working days.
I wouldn't want to argue with that.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that you've counted the days, but I wouldn't argue with that.
Okay.
But the point is, the timeline that part was never raised as a concern at the clarification meeting, because that is why when you send out a tender, then you call those interested and then you clarify what is in the advert that is already out.
And they can post
so they can raise those issues at the clarification meeting, and that is what it was not raised at the clarification. It was those the issues that they raised. They were raised a day before the deadline, which is what is said now to have been too late. You can't raise those issues now on the eve of the deadline, and you want now the process to be prolonged. So that is what happened.
Councillor, let's just talk about the delays. You mentioned there have been many delays in contract renewals across several departments within the municipality. You yourself have said this is quite an ordinary event. With there being so many delays in the contract renewal, many times and deviations, the SPCA in this case was always appointed, even on a deviation. So why deviate to a new service provider and not deviate to a usual service provider already doing the work?
Yeah, I think before I respond to that, I want to correct also the statement that was made earlier, especially that the one Deirdre made last, I think what we said was yesterday. I want to correct that the tender was a 7-day tender with public holidays, and it was 7 working days. I think we want to clarify that, not 5 days as it was said earlier. I think the response to that is quite simple. You cannot, in terms of the supply chain management, like any contract, once a contract expire, you cannot extend an expired contract. It's unlawful. You can only extend a contract before the contract expires. So So once it expires, you can't extend. So that is that was the dilemma that we had. Hence, we went for this short route that we thought was the easiest and the quickest one that we would get to up to the appointment of a service provider, which was the shortest one is the 7-day tender. You do have others like 14 days and others too when you have an emergency like we had without a contract at the pound.
Councillor, you've mentioned that the appointment is not the formal 3-year contract as yet. Just having said what you've said now, is the new appointment, if the new appointment is only for 6 to 12 months before a formal 3-year contract is appointed, would it have been incompliant to allow the SPCA to just continue until such time that you were ready to appoint a formal 3-year contract? So this 6 to 12 months now that you've appointed a new service provider for, would it have been inappropriate or incompliant rather to just let the SPCA continue for that 6 to 12 months?
Look, as a councillor, who's someone who's not involved in procurement issues, As I've said, we could not extend unlawful and expired contract. But the other thing that would have made everything easy, like we have said, was just for SPCA to submit a bid. I think it would have been the most logical thing to do to allow them to continue, because they were already on site, they've been there, they know everything. It would have been, I think, for me as an outsider now in the process, it would have been the easiest thing to do.
Just to allow, seamless.
It's more seamless. There would have not have been any issues. We would not be here today had they just submitted. Because as I've said, they knew even before the ones that submitted that the tender would be a 7-day one tender and because they were part of the discussions that were taking place behind the scenes around the issue of the contract. So we, as I've said, we could not now, once the contract had expired at the end of October, it could not be extended after that. It is unlawful.
Because now you've got a service provider who does not have a contract,
yes,
on site.
Okay. On site. Yes.
So while talking about the site, there's also audio from Deirdre around the site clarification meeting, which you mentioned, at which, you know, you obviously give clarity to bidders about the contract, the upcoming contract, and you also answer any questions or address any objections.
The other thing as well is that generally, when there is a tender, the site meeting is actually held at the site of where the work will be carried out. This didn't happen. The site meeting was held in an office in PE. So we're still unsure as to whether the service provider that was awarded the tender actually had been to the site and had actually had a look at the site before placing a tender.
Is there a reason why the site clarification meeting did not take place on site?
I'm not sure how many clarification meetings Deirdre would have been part of, but this is normal procedure.
Okay.
That clarification meetings can take place at any municipal building that is suitable for the people, because it's not about the site, it's about explaining the scope and other things. So there's no need to go on site. It's only when there are technical issues around, mostly in the engineering
industry, in the engineering
tenders and other things, where you would need to explain and be on site and explain all of that. But for something like managing a pound, you really don't need to go and be on site, because everybody knows, everybody goes to the site, everybody has been to the pound in Utnake in Karieha for many reasons. I mean, we all love animals, we've been there for many reasons. So it's normal practice within the municipality that clarification meetings can be held anyway.
Councillor, a question that was showing its face over social media over the last while, and with this very particular subject, is that the municipality, just correct me if I'm wrong or not, has a dog control unit, right? The SPCA assisted with that dog control unit because of the staff, it was very little staff to assist the dog control unit. With that being said, who will the new service provider assist the dog control unit?
the service provider takes all the responsibility being carried by the previous service provider. The current one, the one that is on site now, they know the responsibilities to take over and make sure everything that is supposed to be managed at the pound, they do the management of the pound as well as the vets aside. They are responsible for all of that.
So all responsibilities are the
all
current
responsibility to they will just take over. It's nothing seamless, no issues. So there's nothing that warrants the residents to be concerned about, especially about the welfare of the animals within the city, because that will be taken care of by the current the new service provider.
Speaking of which, I think a lot of people are also asking, who is the new service provider?
The company name is BZB.
BZB, okay.
Yeah, it's BZB, and they are not new in the animal care. They are very experienced. They run their own private pound in Woma. They are responsible for also the Arlington race course. They look after the horses and others. They've been working in many areas, and including outside of South Africa, as I've said yesterday. They worked in Namibia, they worked in Zimbabwe, they worked in Table View Animal Care in Cape Town, they worked in Port Alfred, they've worked for the Department of Agriculture as the chief state vet. So these are people that knows what they are doing. There is two vets that are on site. So I there is really no reason to panic in terms of the welfare of animals. And as I've said, we're hoping that this is procurement process, because we can see there's really public interest in this. Mm. We will make sure that we push for the tender to be out as soon as possible.
Once this interim process is over now.
There's nothing that's stopping, yeah. As soon as all our ducks are in the row, we will go out and advert for advert, so that we have a 3-year tender. Mm-hmm. That will give everyone an equal opportunity to bid, and so that we can get over this unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in.
Just from my side, and I think we need to start wrapping up the conversation because we are running out of time, MMC, but on social media, in the news, there have been reports that the new service provider has already been paid 750,000 rand, while more than 300,000 rand is still owed to the SPCA. Can you explain the situation and confirm whether the SPCA will be paid, and if the statements that are going on social media around the new service being paid already 750,000 rand, is that true? Is that accurate?
Yesterday I did explain about the outstanding payment of the SPCA. It's also nothing that is out of the ordinary. Like all service providers who render a service for the municipality, they must be paid.
But surely you would pay your current service provider what is owed first?
I was part of the site meeting on, I think it was Wednesday, when we introduced the new service provider on the site. And even the invoice, how the template of the invoice were to explain to him. So I wouldn't understand how would a service provider be paid if he did not even know how to submit an invoice on Wednesday. Today is Friday, would have been paid. It's impossible. If that happens, then there would be a lot of explaining to do from those who would have paid, because I know the process of paying a service provider. It cannot take a day or two. That's impossible. So this information, I'll find it very misleading. I stand to be corrected, but it's just not possible for it to, because I was there. He did not know if he must submit an invoice come the time that he must submit. We had to explain to him, okay, this is what we will do. We will give you copies and we'll take you through even the legal department, I mean the contracts management was there, saying we will have to call you in, come to our offices, we'll take you through as to how to get to a payment. That was on Wednesday. Today
is
Friday.
To explain to him now how to deal with the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality payments.
Administration. So to say today there has been a 750,000 payment.
Based on that and the invoicing system, that the SPCA, the invoice for the 300,000, when was that submitted?
I really do not have the details for that. But what I can tell you is they will be paid. If they've worked and they've submitted an invoice, I will follow that one up and make sure that they are paid what is due to them, like any other service provider. You can't render a service and then you do not want to pay for, especially when there was a legal contract.
Invoice is in the system.
It's obviously in the system, yeah. And we will make a follow up on that one.
Just one final question from me. In terms of the care of the animals that are, you know, with the SPCA now, or the animals that are under the SPCA's care, would those be taken over, or can they be taken over by the new service provider? Because I think there's also huge concern about what's going to happen to these animals. But I'm thinking, if there's a new service provider and they are managing the site, would the animals that the SPCA is currently taking care of not be able to be taken over or handed over to the new service provider?
The service provider takes responsibility for everything that is on site, including animals. If SPCA feels that they do not have a space for them, the service provider, he knows that it's his responsibility for any animal that need care in Nelson Mandela. We have them as the site vet, and so they are responsible for that. So they cannot turn away any animal that comes that needs care.
Yeah.
That is their responsibility, that they know that. But as I've said also, that the call to make is for SPCA. If they want to live with all the animals, it's up to them. If they want to leave them behind so that they can be taken care of, but there is no reason for the panic, because there's no vacuum. There's currently on site, if you could go today, you will find the new service provider busy to giving care to animals that are brought to. In fact, yesterday, I was shown evidence of him taking care of very sick animals and resuscitating them in the presence of officials. And I was shown they took a video for me to see, and that warmed my heart to say the new service provider has hit the ground running and is busy with the work, and the response time when he was called was not on site, how quick he arrived on site to make sure that he gets on with the work very, very quickly. And that is what we want to see to any service provider, not just the one that we have there. Anyone who's given a responsibility of doing whatever that he must do for public, and that is what we would want to see happening.
And I think we'll leave it there. We thank you for joining us on our Go FM Breakfast this morning. We've been chatting to the MMC for Public Health for the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality Councillor Buyeye, just to give their side of the story.
Yeah, I think it's important to say thank you for, you know, coming in to explain the municipality's position and the process that's unfolded. I mean, we couldn't speak to Deirdre about the actual process because that one belongs to you. We really appreciate you engaging in the questions and helping to provide clarity. But also importantly, we want to acknowledge the many listeners who've been in touch over the past few days. There's been so much engagement on our Telegram platform as well. And it's clear that there's deep care and concern, you know, for within our community for animal welfare and for the work that the SPCA has done over the many years. So, yeah, we'll follow the story very closely. We hope to follow up, and get some feedback from you as well, because I know we're referring to them as the new service provider, but it sounds to me that they should be more like the interim service provider. So in 6 to 12 months, we'd be happy to kind of see where the process goes when you do go to open tender again. So thank you very much for coming in, and stay close as the process unfolds.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. As I've said, we welcome this opportunity to clarify some of the issues that are of public interest. Thank you.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.